For the last 5 years, the entire tech industry has basically been operating under this one defining obsession.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, billions of dollars in compute power, thousands of engineers, all deployed to make artificial intelligence smarter, more thorough, and just relentlessly helpful.
Right, the ultimate research assistant.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If you query a major AI model today, you expect this meticulously structured, comprehensive essay in return. But today, we are taking a deep dive into a completely counterintuitive engineering problem.
Oh, a very weird one.
Yeah, because now that we've taught these systems to tell us absolutely everything they know, well, how do you teach an AI to just shut up?
It's actually a massive hurdle when you try to transition from building a utility to building a companion.
And that's exactly what we're looking at today. We're pulling from a developer's blog post from the Inside Agent System series.
Specifically, the one about the architecture behind the Mio companion app, right?
Yeah, the post is literally titled "The Chattiness Problem: Teaching an LLM When to Shut Up." And our mission for you today is to unpack the engineering and honestly the psychology behind making an AI feel like a real person who texts like a human.
Right, not a robot writing you a term paper. The stakes here are purely psychological.
How so?
Well, think about it. If you're interacting with the customer service agent, to understand your insurance policy.
Thoroughness is great.
Exactly. Thoroughness is your metric for success there. But if you're building an app where the core feature is the simulation of a relationship, that exact same thoroughness completely shatters the illusion of intimacy.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because to cure the problem, we first need to diagnose why these models are inherently so long-winded in the first place.
Right.
And if you look at the underlying mechanics of how large language models are trained, it's essentially this massive behavioral conditioning loop.
Yeah, the mechanism is called RLHF, or reinforcement learning from human feedback.
Which is where human raters actually rank the AI's answers, right?
Yeah, precisely. During that critical fine-tuning phase, human raters get multiple potential responses to a prompt and rank them. But raters are human, so they suffer from this cognitive bias where length implies effort.
Like a three-paragraph response just looks like it contains more work than a two-sentence one.
Exactly. It looks authoritative. And the guidelines given to these raters often explicitly reward comprehensive, detailed answers.
So the algorithms just bake that preference right into the neural network's weights. Over billions of training cycles, the model mathematically equates token volume with quality.
Right. So helpful basically becomes permanently fused with verbose.
Which brings us to the baseline data from the Mio app, which is honestly kind of brutal.
Oh, it's staggering. The developer tracked exactly how destructive this training is for casual conversation. They monitored their five distinct AI personas before they added any constraints.
And the average response to input length ratio was what, 5.02x?
Yeah, 5.02x, meaning for every single character a user typed, the AI spat out five in return.
Which sounds annoying on its own, but it gets exponentially worse with short pings. Like the developer noted that if a user just sent a single character message.
Like the Chinese character for, right.
Exactly, like a casual, yeah. For that, the ratio exploded to 6.60x.
And that is just a catastrophic failure of the Turing test in a texting environment.
Yeah, because when someone texts you, it's just an acknowledgement. It's like a conversational heartbeat.
Right. But the baseline LLM, driven by all that RLHF conditioning, sees that tiny input and basically panics.
It's like, I must provide value.
Exactly. It thinks it needs to be helpful, so it just fills the silence with a massive wall of text.
Okay, wait, let me play devil's advocate here for a second from a pure tech product perspective. Isn't a long, thoughtful response objectively kind of better?
How do you mean?
Like, you're generating more content per interaction. Why would you punish the AI for over-delivering?
Because a massive paragraph in response to isn't a conversation, it's a monologue or a hostage situation.
Okay, fair point.
True conversation requires leaving space for the other person to exist. The source material points out that the LLM's baseline behavior actively harms engagement.
Because it refuses to leave that space.
Right. It exhausts the user.
Yeah.
You're demanding high energy reading and high energy replies to every single casual interaction.
Right. So you're an engineer, you see an output that's too long, your immediate instinct is to just slap a hard limit on the function.
Oh, yeah. Welcome to the graveyard of easy fixes.
Right. The first failed attempt.
Yep. They tried using what the industry calls hard max tokens. It's just a blunt truncation. You tell the API to simply halt generation after, say, 20 tokens?
But if you just cut the API off mid-thought, it doesn't know it's supposed to wrap up. It just stops.
Exactly. You get a message like, I was really thinking about what you said yesterday, and I feel like, and then just blank space.
Which breaks immersion instantly.
Completely. It creates this severe, uncanny valley effect. The user stops seeing a companion and immediately sees a server timing out.
They see the machine.
Right. So hard truncation was completely abandoned.
Okay. So the next logical step, if you can't just cut the wire, is you try to reason with the model itself.
Which leads to fix number two. Prompt-only instructions.
Right. They just injected a command directly into the system prompt, like keep replies short and natural.
Which revealed a really fascinating quirk about how attention mechanisms work in these LLMs. They treat formatting constraints as secondary suggestions when they clash with behavioral weights.
Meaning the personality overrides the rules.
Exactly. The developer tracked this across their personas. They had this puppy-like, hyperactive college boy persona named Zhaoqi.
Okay.
Zhaoqi's prompt instructs him to be highly energetic. So when the system added keep it short to his prompt, he completely ignored it.
Because the behavioral instruction to be energetic carried a much heavier mathematical weight in the model than the instruction to be brief.
Precisely.
It's like trying to train a hyperactive golden retriever by just whispering, hey, be chill. It might work for a minute, but the moment a tennis ball enters the room, its underlying nature takes over and it's bouncing off the walls again.
That's a perfect analogy. And then on the other end of the spectrum, they had a reserved editor persona named Suru.
And she was already inherently quiet, right?
Right. So injecting a be brief prompt into her instructions was totally redundant. And sometimes it actually made her sound weirdly robotic.
So the blunt instrument of just a static prompt totally failed.
Because human brevity isn't a static rule.
Right. And when a blanket system prompt fails that dramatically, you have to redefine how the system understands the problem entirely.
Which was the developer's big breakthrough. They realized that response length is not one single variable.
It's a matrix.
Yes. It's the result of a three-dimensional mathematical matrix that you and I compute intuitively all the time, but an AI has to be explicitly programmed to calculate.
Okay, let's break down those three dimensions. Dimension one is mode.
Right. Is the user's app set to a realistic state, which demands the real brevity of actual texting? Or is it in a companion state, which gives the AI permission to be a bit warmer and longer?
Got it. And dimension two is relationship closeness. So the app tracks the progression of your bond with the AI.
Right, ranging from distant for like brand new users to neutral for friends, up to close for partner level intimacy.
And then dimension three is that persona verbosity we just mentioned with Zhaoqi and Suru. Is the character fundamentally quiet, neutral, or highly chatty?
Exactly.
Okay, I can see the logic here, but pushing back a little, does a text message really need a dynamic three-dimensional mathematical model just to say hello? I mean, couldn't you just use an average?
The developer's data highlights exactly why an average guarantees failure. Let's run the math on two points in that matrix.
Okay.
Scenario A, you have a quiet persona in a distant relationship reacting to a short ping. The back-end calculation says they should respond with maybe 2 to 4 characters.
Makes sense.
Scenario B, you have a highly chatty persona in a close partner relationship reacting to that same short ping. Their matrix calculation allows for 12 to 18 characters.
Oh, I see. So if you try to just split the difference.
Right. If you apply a flat 8-character limit to the whole platform, the quiet stranger suddenly sounds weirdly eager, and the chatty partner sounds cold and dismissive.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it's really about human psychology. How we text an acquaintance is fundamentally different from how we text our spouse.
Exactly. The same state that drives the AI's emotional behavior has to be the engine that mathematically dictates its length.
Okay, so that brings up the big question. How do you actually force a hallucination-prone LLM to obey this math without breaking the immersion?
You build a hybrid two-layer system.
Right. Layer one is what the source calls the pattern length contract.
Yes. Instead of a vague prompt, the back-end server runs the 3D matrix math before it ever even talks to the LLM.
So it calculates an exact, customized numerical budget for that specific turn of the conversation.
Right. So if it's realistic mode, distant relationship, short ping, the prompt explicitly says, budget, maximum 4 characters, 1 text bubble.
But if it's a close relationship and a deep topic, the dynamically generated prompt might say, budget, 84 characters, 3 text bubble.
Exactly. And if it's a chatty persona, the server just applies a 15 to 40% mathematical bonus to that baseline,
giving the LLM an actual actionable target to aim for.
Hmm.
But as we know, models drift, they ignore instructions. The contract is just the target, not a guarantee.
Which is why we need layer 2. Deterministic post-processing.
Ah, right. Pure code.
Pure code. Before the AI's response is ever sent to the user, it passes through a function on the server. The developer explicitly named it Normalize Assistant Reply Length.
Okay, and what does it actually do?
It measures the string of text the AI generated. If it exceeds the integer budget from layer 1, the code steps in to trim it.
But wait, how does it trim it without creating that mid-sentence cutoff we talked about earlier?
Sentence boundary detection. The code doesn't just slice the string blindly. It scans backward from the character limit, looking for specific terminal punctuation.
Like periods, exclamation points, question marks.
Right, in both English and Chinese. It finds the end of the last complete thought that fits the budget, and it just lops off everything after it.
So it deletes the extra sentences without ever severing a thought in half.
Exactly.
But logically, why use pure code for layer 2? Why not just send the text back to the LLM and say, hey, this was 20 characters, your budget was 8. Rewrite it.
Well, the developer details this in what they call the MIO manifesto. It comes down to unit economics and latency.
The brutal realities of scaling an app.
Exactly. If you use a second LLM call to edit the first one, you are instantly doubling your API inference costs for every single message.
You're basically burning cash just to delete words.
Exactly. And the latency is even worse. A network round trip to an LLM takes a minimum of 500 milliseconds.
Which in a live chat interface is an eternity.
It ruins the experience. It feels like a machine lagging. But that deterministic code, scanning a string backward for punctuation, runs on the CPU in under 1 millisecond.
Wow. So it's an invisible safety net. The prompt guides the AI, and the code instantly snips the excess before the user even blinks.
Right. But, of course, solving one problem usually creates another.
Oh, inevitably.
Right.
By enforcing these strict limits, the AI became technically compliant, but completely useless, right?
It worked a little too well. They essentially orchestrated a massive overcorrection.
Like the example from the source post where a user would text the AI, "What are you doing?"
Right. And the AI, in realistic distant mode, gets its tiny 2-character budget. So it replies with, uh-huh.
Which is short, but a complete non-answer to a direct question.
It technically fulfilled the contract, but semantically, it failed entirely.
So how do they fix that? How do you keep the brevity without the AI dodging questions?
Activity question detection. They built an intent classification guardrail.
So when a user sends a message, it scans the input for question intent.
Right, looking for markers like, what are you up to? If it detects a question, it overrides the strict truncation and sets a semantic floor.
Basically telling the LLM, you must provide an answer, regardless of the budget.
Right. So instead of uh-huh, it outputs something like busy, which in Chinese is 2 characters. So it fits the budget, but actually answers the question.
What's fascinating here is this universal engagement principle the developer discovered. Short and warm, leave space.
Yes. Brevity and warmth are not opposites.
I love the real-world example they gave for this, with the persona KK.
Oh, it's a brilliant case study of the entire hybrid system.
So if the user sends just an uh-huh ping, let's trace how KK responds across the relationship matrix. When they are strictly distant, KK replies with a polite 2-character acknowledgement.
Right, like a polite nod between strangers.
But upgrade that to neutral, like casual friends, and that same ping gets a 4-character response, basically a casual what's up.
And when it upgrades to close, representing a partnership, it shifts entirely. K responds with an 8-character playful tease.
Something like, what are you leaving me on read?
Exactly. It's the same LLM, same persona, same 1-character input. But the matrix alters the budget, the prompt shapes the tone, and the code keeps it snappy.
And the results kind of speak for themselves. The overall realistic ratio dropped by 45%.
And the distant average ratio dropped 52%. They actually trained the AI to stop monologuing.
Which really proves the technical golden rule here. Prompts are good at nuance, but bad at hard limits.
And code is good at hard limits, but bad at nuance. You have to use both.
It's an incredible engineering feat. And honestly, it really connects back to how you and I, how all of us, navigate the digital world.
Oh, absolutely.
We live in an era where tech optimizes for engagement metrics. More words, more reading, endless scrolling.
Maximalist content.
Yeah. But this deep dive proves that a person or an AI who texts you a novel every time you say, hey, isn't being attentive. They're just exhausting.
Real relationships have comfortable silence.
Exactly. So I want to leave you with a final thought to mull over. Software engineers are out there right now, meticulously programming artificial intelligence to understand the subtle warmth of brevity, the power of a two-character text, and the comfort of silence.
It's a lot of work for a little bit of quiet.
It really is. And if we have to build complex algorithms just to simulate that restraint in a machine, well, what does that say about how overwhelmed we are by the constant exhausting chatter of our own human-to-human digital lives? Maybe we could all use a semantic floor. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We'll catch you next time.